And this is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in on this sad and rough week here in East Tennessee. I mean, you know, we're going to get into talking about pro-life issues and Hope Resource Center and Giving Tuesday and our year-end campaign. We're going to get into all that here in a second. But first, you know, it would be inappropriate not to mention what is going on right here in our backyard. Here in East Tennessee, and what happened in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and Von Ohr and Tellico Plains and the places here in East Tennessee. But really, the last month or so, what has happened all across this state with fires and forest fires and last night with wind gusts up to 80 miles per hour in some areas and picking up embers and looking at the aerial views, if you haven't looked at them yet, it's just amazing at what the wind can do with fire, and that, you know, we've seen it before and we've read about it where fire will jump over buildings and you may look and you see a whole neighborhood burned down, but one building is standing. And that's what we see in Gatlinburg, and the surrounding areas. And so, just from a perspective of someone that moved to Knoxville, in 2008, that is who I'm a transplant to the Knoxville, to East Tennessee. But growing up in Middle Tennessee, every single summer, we went to vacation in Gatlinburg. Every summer. We stayed at the same place. We did the same things. We ate at the same restaurants. We played golf at Hillbilly Golf that is no longer there. You know, we did those things. Why? Because the Smokies is a national treasure. The Smoky Mountains is a treasure that shows the glory and amazing artistic ability of our God. The people there show the amazing love and compassion of the people in East Tennessee. And so last night, as I watched the news and as I was following on Twitter all that was going on, that's all I could think about. As I thought about being a kid, and every single summer, I couldn't wait. My dad's a dairy farmer, so we didn't get to go many places, because he had to always be at home and get up in the morning and milk and go back and milk in the afternoon every single Sunday. So we didn't get to do a lot of those trips. But every summer, I could not wait for us to get together as a family, pack into the minivan, and drive east to the Smokies and to Gatlinburg and to Dollywood and everything that they had to offer. And then in 2008, I moved here, and some of the nicest people I know, some of the nicest people I've ever had the privilege to know, some of the best friends I've ever had live right here in East Tennessee. Some of the best people I know are firemen right here in East Tennessee and are now waiting for the call to, are they going or not? One of my best friends growing up, the guy that I did everything with growing up, is a fireman in Middle Tennessee, and now he's waiting for the call that he may come over and have to fight some fires depending on what happens tonight. And as someone that lives here now, at times I take for granted the amazing scenery, the amazing opportunity, the amazing place that we live in East Tennessee. All the quirks and things of Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg and the tourist attractions and all that is still one of the greatest places on earth. People from all over the planet travel right here to East Tennessee. And last night we watched so much of it burn. And we prayed for rain. And we watched videos, but you know, it's different nowadays because we have access to so many videos. Everyone becomes a videographer. Everyone has a cell phone. Everyone can live report what's going on. And we saw footage from a hotel where the fire is right outside the window, not knowing what is going to happen. Are these people going to survive or not? We saw an amazing escape as two men are driving down a road on a mountain and the fire looks like it's about to engulf them and they make it out safe. We're able to watch all those things. And we pray. We pray for the people. We pray for the mountains. We pray for the businesses, the livelihoods of so many that may now be lost or they'll have to rebuild. the scenery, the trees that have been that have been growing for years and years and years now gone. But in all the darkness that we've seen, what comes out is the amazing truth of the people of Tennessee. You know, it's no accident that the University of Tennessee is called the Volunteers, that the teams are called the Volunteers. That is who we are. That's what we've always done. When danger was around, we went to the danger instead of running away from the danger. First responders last night, what did they do? They went to the danger. People from Murfreesboro, firefighters from Murfreesboro, from all over the state, from all over the country, have made their way to East Tennessee. Tennesseans today are packing trucks to help those in need. Tennesseans last night on Facebook and on Twitter saying, I don't live in Sevierville, but I'm close. If you are evacuating, you have a bed to sleep on. You have a couch. You have a floor to sleep on at my house. Send me a message. I'll send you the address. Opening their homes to strangers. Why? Because they love their neighbor and because that's who we are as Tennesseans. Last night I was flipping through the national networks, Fox, CNN, MSNBC. Not one of them was reporting on what was going on here in East Tennessee. Not one. Because we're a flyover state. Things happen on the coast and it gets reported. Things happen in a flyover state and it gets looked over. They look over it. That's why it's called a flyover state. Smoky Mountain National Park is one of the most visited parks in the country. Like I said, a national treasure. It deserves to be reported on when we're having mandatory evacuations. But regardless of that, what we saw was thousands of people come together last night, thousands of people coming together today, and thousands of people coming together in the weeks ahead of us to help those in need. Because, folks, if we're going to say that we're pro-life, then absolutely we're going to stand for that mom in crisis. Absolutely we're going to stand for that baby in the womb. But hear me here. We have to stand for those that are in need right now. Those that lost homes last night. Those that lost businesses. There's a dad right now searching for his daughters and his wife, not knowing if they're okay. There's people in need of baby formula. There's people in need of clothes, and they're going to be in need of a lot of things. And they just had a press conference, and Governor Haslam stood up there and said, what we all know, that the people in East Tennessee are amazing. And that the governor and the state are going to put all the resources that they need to help. The governor then said that he got a call from President-elect Trump and Vice President-elect Pence, saying that they're available if needed, even though they're not in the White House yet. Depending on how long this goes, they're prepared to do something when they get to the White House. So even though a lot of the national networks are not covering or they're covering it sporadically, I want you to know that people are watching. And this is a time for us to show the world that East Tennessee and the South aren't made up of a bunch of hicks and hillbillies. They're made up of good, genuine people that love. Do we have an accent? Absolutely. Do we love an airbrush shirt? Absolutely. Do we love our hillbilly golf? You better believe we do. But we also love our neighbor. And that is why we're going to stand up and we're going to help. And we're going to be there for these people, for our neighbors. And I consider it a privilege to call East Tennessee my home. I consider it a privilege to raise my kids in this area. And so as you're looking for ways to help, there are plenty of ways to help. A lot of trucks are going that way. Of course, the American Red Cross is accepting donations. They're accepting donations at Regal Cinemas in Turkey Creek. Clothing donations can be taken to the New Hope Presbyterian Church in Knoxville. Monetary donations can be sent to the Red Cross office at 6921 Middlebrook Pike. Also, you can make $10 donations by texting Red Cross to 90999. So there's going to be some needs over the next few days, over the next few weeks, maybe even over the next few months. And it is time for us to help out and to assist. And folks, also, we must remember to pray for these families. And understand that a lot has been done, and what happened last night couldn't have been predicted. You know, I've seen some people nationally that have said, well, why weren't they ready? Why weren't they prepared? Why didn't they evacuate people sooner? I've watched the news and watched all of this for a long time. That fire moved so quickly. I heard just as I was pulling in tonight, I heard a guy being interviewed, and he said, I got to my house, the law enforcement came in and said, you need to evacuate. And he said, we couldn't even see the fire anywhere. And he said, 10 minutes later, and the fire was there because the wind was so strong. So the leaders are doing what they can. I saw some posts last night on Twitter that wanted to use this as a moment to get political. There's a time and a place for politics. This is neither the time nor the place. There are people hurting today. There are people mourning. So far, we have 3 confirmed deaths. One would assume that number is going to rise. We have fellow East Tennesseans that have been taken to UT Medical and then been taken to Vanderbilt with very critical burns. There's going to be a lot of healing that needs to happen. And so as we go through this, please, first off, don't take for granted where we live and the amazing place that we have here in East Tennessee. And second, remember to pray. Remember to pray for these families, these business owners, the community leaders, our firemen, our first responders that are going to get very little sleep, that fought fires all night long last night and may very well do the exact same thing tonight because we're not really sure what the weather's going to do with the wind and the rain. And so this is a time for us Tennesseans to show who we are. And we are already doing that by filling trucks and volunteering and helping out and opening our homes. But this is a tough week. It's a tough day. But we'll get through it. And so pray for East Tennessee. Pray for the Smokies. And pray for Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, and all the surrounding areas. We'll be back in a sec. God reigns. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. You can listen, of course, at Joy 620 AM, or you can listen online at WRJZ.com. We'll also have this up on podcasts. It'll be on iTunes and on our website, investinghope.com, in the next few days as well. So a lot going on here in East Tennessee. Of course, continue to pray for the folks in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and Von Ohr and Tellico Plains and all the surrounding areas that are dealing with so much right now. And we just continue to lift them up. But today also is Giving Tuesday. And so maybe you're thinking, well, what is Giving Tuesday? Well, this is a day across the country where nonprofits are stepping up and saying, hey, this is a great opportunity to partner with us, to donate, and to give. And so what I want to do is talk a little bit about what those funds will do, how they help us at Hope Resource Center, and why we do that. So today is, in fact, Giving Tuesday, and we are currently in the middle of our year-end fundraising campaign. So many of you may have received a booklet from Hope Resource Center. It says A Thrill of Hope on the front, and then it has a picture of a beautiful baby boy, and then it tells a great story throughout of that baby boy and his mom and their story. And so hopefully you receive that. Fundraising is a must in our line of work. But as I've said before, Fundraising is not our goal. It is simply a vehicle used to reach our goal. Nonprofit work, by nature, requires your gifts. We cannot provide the free expert care at Hope without the generous donations of individuals, churches, and businesses. A pregnancy test would be turned away. Our three ultrasound machines would be non-existent. Our desire to provide parenting education and baby showers to first-time moms would be just that, a desire without your gifts. Thankfully, this is not our truth because you showed up and you gave. We provided 816 pregnancy tests, 457 ultrasounds, and 527 STD tests over the last year because you gave. We scheduled 2,237 appointments, mentored and educated 55 first-time moms and threw 50-plus baby showers over the last year because you gave. A mom felt loved and supported because you gave. A dad had the opportunity to change the course of his life because you gave. A young woman facing impossible odds saw the light at the end of the tunnel because you gave. A baby was given a chance to taste freedom because you gave. These are not arbitrary cliches or anecdotes. These are truths that occurred because you cared about your neighbor in need. We see brokenness and hurt every day at Hope. We hear the stories of physical abuse, struggles with addiction, and economic hardships. We get bogged down as we fight in the trenches for our patients. We struggle to understand some of the choices that are made or the obstacles in the way of life. We mourn over miscarriages, anomalies, and the patient that leaves with abortion on her mind. We, however, don't find our home there. Instead, we are encouraged and motivated to keep fighting because thousands of you are willing to fight with us. Your prayers, volunteering, and donations do more than help with our budget. They breathe life into this ministry. We get to answer God's call on our lives because you partner with us. We get to tell that new mom she's not alone because you give. We get to tell that person struggling with addiction that there is a better way because you give. We get to hold that precious baby girl or boy and shower them with gifts because you give. Hope will celebrate 20 years in 2017. During this time, we have served close to 25,000 patients and have seen moms, dads, and babies saved because you gave. As we look to the future and reflect on the past this Christmas season, I would ask that you prayerfully consider what your involvement and engagement may look like at Hope. Every dollar you give will be used to serve this community and the most vulnerable among us. We are beyond blessed to call Knoxville home and to call you a friend. The past 20 years have been remarkable, and we look forward to standing with you for many more as we celebrate the amazing gift of life. So that's what Giving Tuesday is about. That's what the year-end campaign is about. You see, there at times when folks like me at nonprofits are asking for money, at times we hear things like, that's all you want is money. That's all you do is ask. Well, that's not all I want. I want your prayers. I'd love for you to look into volunteering and helping us out at Hope. But if you have the ability to give, then yeah, we would appreciate that. We are a nonprofit. The more patients that we see, the more money that costs because we're not going to charge the patient. You see, the cost of our service will never be a barrier for our patient. If you're reading news about what's going on in the abortion lobby world, well, they're concerned. They're concerned about who's going to be in the White House. They're concerned about who's going to be in the House and the Senate. They're concerned about federal funding at $500 million being pulled from them. They're concerned. Why? Because they need that money. They need the money from the government. They need the money from their patients. I'll never understand it. Reproductive rights is their sole motivation. Serving the vulnerable among us is their sole motivation. They'll say, we are working in minority communities and in low-income communities to give them the assistance they need. But we're going to charge everybody that walks in our door. Explain that one to me. Explain that one to me. You see, they believe that the government should be providing all of these services. And if the government's not going to provide it, then we're going to charge that patient that doesn't have the money to get any of our services. They don't have the money for the abortion. They don't have the money for contraception. They don't have the money for the STD test or the ultrasound. And so what we have to understand at Hope is what we do is we say, no, the government isn't the answer. We want that patient to be served and to be loved. And so we're going to provide that service at no cost to them. And folks, I'm just here to tell you the difference is staggering. We had a patient just the other day come in and she told of having an abortion at an abortion clinic. And she had that abortion later. She was further along than most. And she told of how horrible of an experience it was. People aren't walking out of Hope Resource Center telling of a horrible experience. They're walking out of Hope Resource Center with that, with hope. They're walking out of Hope Resource Center knowing that they're not alone in this. They're walking out of Hope Resource Center knowing that someone cares about them, that they're loved, that they're respected, that they're valued. That's why I asked for you to give. Help us to continue to do that. We've been doing it for almost 20 years. Help us to continue to do that for 20 more and even more after that. We'll talk more about this when we come back.
There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain.
And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening this afternoon. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Haven't even mentioned that. Thanksgiving was last week, and I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you had some time with family, some time off of work, some time to just kind of relax, unless you went shopping on Black Friday, and then maybe you didn't get a lot of time to relax, but hopefully you enjoyed that. You gave thanks to God for all that we have, and just it continues to amaze me. It continues to amaze me the absolute blessing we have to call Tennessee home, the absolute blessing we have to call East Tennessee home, to live with the freedoms that we have in this country. And so I'm just blown away. And all that's going on, all that happened last night and that's going on today, there's a lot of darkness, there's a lot of brokenness, there's a lot of concern, and rightly so. But one thing that really warms my heart and one thing that really just continues to blow me away is just what Bob was talking about at that break. The amazing and outpouring of support from this community, of folks to say, I don't know some of those people in the Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area, but what I do know is they're a neighbor and they matter to me. And I'm going to stand and give that assistance. And that is amazing. What I love today in the press conference is leaders, political leaders, standing up and asking for prayers. That here in East Tennessee, they're not afraid to do that. They're not afraid to look into the camera and say, if you can't do anything else, call out to the Creator that gave us these wonderful Smoky Mountains. Call out to the Creator that gave us East Tennessee. I love that. I love that they're not afraid to do that. I love that our governor came down and is saying the same thing. And so we just, at times we take for granted where we have the opportunity to live. And I pray that we would not do that. As we get back to looking at how you can help Hope Resource Center, and I'm going to talk about this over the next few weeks. I promise that every show is not going to be me on here asking you asking for money. That's not how I operate. That's not how I'm built. But today what I want to do is highlight, since it is Giving Tuesday, again, you can go to investinghope.com, click on the donate button. You can give online or you can send a check to Hope Resource Center, 2700 Painter Avenue, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. We would appreciate that as well. What I want to do is highlight the year-end booklet that some of you are going to get in the mail. Hopefully most of you are getting that in the mail. What we did is we highlighted a patient, and this particular patient used every single service that Hope has to offer. So she came in for a pregnancy test. She had an ultrasound. She went through parenting classes, went through mentoring, and then got the baby shower. I mean, the whole kit and caboodle. She went through all of it. And she shared that story with us, and then we shared that story with you in the year-end booklet. And I want to read just part of her story, and here's what she said. She said, several events in my life have been influential, but none of those came close to the impact of these past few months. I started to suspect I might be pregnant in December of 2015 when I missed a period 2 months in a row. Looking back, I see there were signs of the pregnancy before that, such as fatigue and sickness, that I had attributed to the stresses of work and school. After several weeks of putting off using an at-home pregnancy test and then researching where I could get my pregnancy verified, I went to Hope Resource Center. After sitting and talking with their staff nurse, Wendy, and their director of patient services, Megan, we did a standard pregnancy test. Going by the last period, she should have been a few weeks pregnant. And then listen to this. The ladies there had time for an ultrasound, and actually, this patient was 25 weeks pregnant. I knew who his father was, someone who never wanted kids, someone I barely knew. A snap decision I had instantly regretted was now altering my life. I burst into tears. I could barely look at the monitor where my baby already had a face. Listen to that. Because you give, we're able to have ultrasound machines at Hope Resource Center. And listen to her words again. A snap decision I had instantly regretted was now altering my life. I burst into tears. I could barely look at the monitor where my baby already had a face. Wendy, who performed the ultrasound, sat and talked with me as I calmed down about my life concerns and who was there to help. She was the first immediate positive force saying things would be all right and that I would be a good mother. I cannot imagine my life without my son, and I don't want to. At the time I found out, Ben was so far along that the state would not allow an abortion, so I never had to make that decision. For as hard as it has been, I would not trade him for anything. Now, I want to highlight something here. This patient said, Wendy, who performed the ultrasound, sat and talked with me as I calmed down about my life concerns and who was there to help. Now listen to this. Wendy was the first immediate positive force saying things would be all right and that I would be a good mother. Think about that. You know, a lot of times folks are saying, well, why do you have the nurse practitioners and the nurses on staff? That's why. Wendy, one of our nurses, was the first immediate positive force for this patient. So because you give, because you stand with us, because you donate, because you pray, we had an opportunity to sit down with this patient and say, you can do this, but you don't have to do it alone. We're going to be here with you. Now think about what that did for this patient to hear from a medical professional, to hear her say, you can do this. And then this patient goes on and she is actually mentored by Megan, who's on our staff. And they have a common interest of art. And so Megan thought it would be a good idea to go through a Bible study where they sketch out different things they're reading, and just whatever they're reading, what does that make you think? What does that make you feel? And then they draw. And this allowed a connection with that patient that no one else would have been able to have that connection with. And so there was a relationship that came from that. And now we have a young mom that sure, she doesn't have it all figured out, but I have three kids and I don't have it all figured out. But what she knows is there's people at Hope that care about her. There's a nurse named Wendy and a staff person at Hope named Megan that care about her. There's people all over this state, all over this country that care about her. And you know how we know that? Because we've received donations from Michigan, from California. from Texas, from Arizona, from Florida. We've received donations from here in the great state of Tennessee, here in Knoxville, Sevier County, and all areas in between. So, folks, many of you will never meet this patient. You'll never meet her baby. You'll never shake her hand. You'll never hold her son. But because you gave, she had an opportunity to choose life. She was given a baby shower that she wouldn't have had otherwise. She was provided mentoring that she wouldn't have had otherwise. She was shown and pointed to the gospel. And scripture was opened up in front of her like she'd never seen before. All because you gave. And this is just one story of hundreds, of thousands since we've opened our doors in 1997. And so I want to highlight these stories because, you see, it's not just we want your money. It's not that at all. And it's also not, hey, help me keep the lights on and we're going to close our doors tomorrow if you don't send a check in. It's not me begging. It's not the ship is sinking and I need you to help us keep it afloat. No, it is me saying, God is doing an amazing work through Hope Resource Center. And he's been doing an amazing work through Hope since 1997. And now we are one of the largest pro-life clinics in the Southeast. All because you gave. All because you prayed. All because you stood up. So maybe you're listening today and you're thinking, yeah, I've been giving to Hope for 10 years. And I'm going to continue to give to Hope. Or maybe you're listening today and you're saying, I've never given money to a nonprofit in my life. I tithe at church, but I don't do anything outside of that. Well, is this the year that you start? Maybe that's $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Maybe it's more than that. But what I can assure you and what I want you to hear from me today is every dollar we bring in, every dollar we bring in is going to go directly to impacting this community. Directly impacting this community. So if you give today online at investinghope.com, or if you send a check in or however that goes, I want you to know that those funds are going to go to help our nurses provide the ultrasounds, the STD testing, the pregnancy test. It's going to help our volunteers provide and our staff provide the mentoring, the parenting classes. It's going to help us equip that first-time mom who believes there is no light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to help us to show her that, no, in fact, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and she's not alone in this work. And that we love her and we care about her and her baby and her family. So if you feel so moved, I would encourage you to go to investinghope.com today or at some point between now and the end of the year. We would certainly appreciate standing with you and partnering with you in this amazing, amazing life work. We're going to talk more about it coming up. I know Bob is about to come back on here and tell you about what's going on at Grace and filling up the trucks and helping the folks in Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg, and continue to pray for all the families affected by the fires of last night. We'll be back. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Again, thanks for listening today. You can, maybe you just got home or you're going inside, you can listen online at WRJZ.com. Of course, we'll have it up for podcast in the next few days as well. You can find it on our website, investinghope.com, or iTunes or any other place out there as well. So certainly thank you for that. Today, again, is Giving Tuesday. So what I would challenge you today, what I would motivate you today to do is to give. So whether that means you go online right now and you give to your church, or you go online right now at investinghope.com and you give to Hope, or you go online and you give to the Red Cross and you help the folks in Pigeon Forge in the Gatlinburg area, whatever that looks like for you, may we be a giving and generous people. Not just of our funds, but of our time, of our energy, of our prayers. I heard a preacher once say, "You'll never be generous if you're not generous." Now that sounds simple, but it is so true. Or people will say, "Well, if I only had a lot of money, if I was rich, man, what I would do with it. I would really, really bless a lot of people." Well, folks, if you're not generous with a little, you'll not be generous with a lot. So don't forget that. Let us be a generous people. Let us raise our kids to be those that want to give, those that want to assist, those that want to help. It is amazing to watch. It is amazing to watch that two trucks have been filled at Grace to be sent over to help some folks that are dealing with fires and loss of homes. But folks, that's not the only two trucks. At the Expo Center, there's trucks being filled up. I saw today a landscaping company is providing trucks to be filled up at other places. The outpouring of support is amazing to me. The Southern Baptist Church will be out in masses with disaster relief. I can guarantee it. No one does it better than the Southern Baptist Church when it comes to bringing out the chainsaws and helping folks get back to some type of normalcy. And so again, in the next few days, in the next few weeks, as things try to get back to the way we understand it, don't take for granted where we are able to call home. And maybe you're listening to this on podcast and you don't live in Tennessee. You don't live in East Tennessee. You live somewhere else in the country. I would encourage you, do not let these fires keep you away from East Tennessee. Come take in all the glory and all the beauty that is East Tennessee, the Smoky Mountains, Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, and all the areas in between. I used to work at the University of Tennessee, and I worked for the admissions office. And one of my presentations that I would give at the open house every year to thousands of students, one of those presentations was getting them acclimated to East Tennessee, to Tennessee in general. I'm a born and raised Tennessean, love this state. I am biased. It is the best state in the union. I have no qualms and no problems with saying that. And so when we have folks from up north, when we have folks from out west, when we have folks from the East Coast, from way down south, come and visit Tennessee, we want to show them who we are. And that is what we are showing them this week. So as the national networks pick this up, as CNN and Fox and MSNBC and all those folks send their trucks down and they send their New Yorkers down and they send people here that don't have a clue and don't really understand the culture and who we are here, what they're going to find is they're going to find some people that may wear a lot of camouflage. They're going to find people that have deep accents. But what they're going to know is they're going to know that the people here love each other. And I wouldn't trade any of you for the world. Because that is who we are. And so let us not ever get too far from that. Let us celebrate that fact. Dolly Parton is saying, "I'm celebrating it." Dollywood's going to be back open by the end of the week. It's going to take more than fires to stop Dolly. Okay, so what that means is throughout the rest of the week, and as people continue to mourn, and as we continue to hear the numbers of those hurt and those that did not make it out of the fires, let us first pray for these families. Let us get off of our rumps and give and help out. Maybe some of the fellas need to pick up a chainsaw and help out. Let us not take for granted the amazing place we get to call home that is East Tennessee. Truly, truly a blessing. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week.